Welcome to What Matters in North Carolina. Today we are going to hear from Susan Myrick, Elections Policy Analyst with the Civitas Institute, and Hans von Spakovsky with the Heritage Foundation, who are going to talk to us about the different challenges going on in court to North Carolina's various election laws. If you want to listen to more episodes like this, just go to www.freedomactionnetwork.com, where you can listen to past episodes of the What Matters in North Carolina show, or listen to the other shows on the Freedom Action Network. If you want to follow along with us on social media, you can do so by searching on Facebook and Twitter at What Matters NC and following us there or liking our Facebook page. Again, that is What Matters NC. If you want to subscribe to the podcast and you already aren't, you can do that on Apple Podcasts by searching What Matters in North Carolina. Again, that is What Matters in North Carolina. Now we will move right into Susan Myrick and Hans von Spakovsky talking about elections.
If the court is in session, speaking of the U.S. Supreme Court, there seems to almost always be a North Carolina redistricting case before it.
Yeah, it's really, boy, what a lot of work, time, and resources folks in North Carolina have spent trying to get redistricting right, and yet their cases almost always seem to end up before the Supreme Court. Yeah, even Justice Alito, in one of the cases that just came down concerning two of the congressional districts, said this was like the fifth time that just this one congressional district had ended up before the Supreme Court.
It was originally drawn, I think the one you're talking about, at least the 12th, it was originally drawn back in 1990 by the Democrats, I believe. That's where it started.
Yeah, yeah. But that shows how confused the state of the law is. And in particular, there's really no clear directives to legislatures on what they can and can't do when it comes to redistricting without getting in trouble under the Voting Rights Act and other provisions of the Constitution when it comes to how much you can and should take race into account when you're doing redistricting.
And a part of their recent rulings have been on the congressional maps, which were that was a confusing news report anyway, because they were talking about congressional maps that had already been redrawn in 2016. And we ended up having two primaries, one in March and one in June for the congressional races. We actually voted twice on the congressional races. They just didn't count the votes in March.
Right.
So they used the new maps, but then all of a sudden we get a ruling saying the congressional maps were unconstitutional, which really did confuse a lot of people out there, because they were assuming that it was the maps that
drawn ones, yeah.
But it wasn't at all. So, and now the newest ruling coming down from the court is on our legislative districts.
Right. I mean, it was within, I think, a week or 2 weeks, two cases, two decisions coming from the Supreme Court involving redistricting. And the second decision, and this was the case in which the federal district court, the lower federal district court, had found that something like more than two dozen of the state legislative seats were unacceptable racial gerrymanders. The judge had suddenly said, well, for everybody elected in November 2016, instead of the two-year term to which you would normally be entitled, you're only going to have a one-year term. And the state appealed that to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court issued an order saying, sending it back to the lower court and saying, look, that's quite a radical remedy to cut the set term of state legislators. And if you're going to do that, you have to justify that in great detail. There has to be a balancing of the equities, that's the language the court used, between whatever the reasons are for that remedy versus the fact that running their own elections, that's the prerogative of the state government. And the lower court judge in his original order had like one sentence justifying it. And the Supreme Court basically unanimously said, that's not enough.
Right.
So they sent it back to the court, and he's going to have to, that judge is going to have to justify in great detail why it is correct to cut the terms from 2 years to 1 year.
I thought it was interesting, and correct me if I'm wrong, that that opinion was 3 pages long compared to a one sentence, we're remanding the case back to the state Supreme Court.
Right.
But when it came to, hey, you've made a radical decision here about having new special elections, cutting terms of legislators,
right,
not only this year, but the ones that would be elected in 2017 would only serve for 1 year too.
Right.
So, that took 3 pages, but the other one took one sentence. I thought it was very interesting. You mentioned something about, was it Justice Kagan? They got it wrong, and we're going back to the congressional maps. Well, no, this was a congressional legislative map confusion,
right,
where the legislators were talking about districts.
Yeah, In the opinion that came out concerning the two congressional districts, which the majority of the court said were racial gerrymanders,
right,
Justice Alito, in a dissent, pointed out that the lower court in North Carolina had made a basic mistake of fact. He claimed that two of the state legislators, who were the main people behind the redistricting, had said that they were drawing these two congressional districts based on racial reasons to comply with the Voting Rights Act. And therefore, the court concluded, see, it was a racial gerrymander. But that was actually a mistake. The two legislators weren't talking about the congressional districts. They were talking about the state legislative districts.
Right.
And Alito was kind of dumbstruck that the majority opinion in that case, written by Justice Kagan, just completely ignored that mistake of fact.
Another thing, when the U.S. Supreme Court remanded the case to the North Carolina Supreme Court, the North Carolina Supreme Court has actually looked at these maps twice since they were first drawn in 2011. And approved them along with the Obama Justice Department. And I think when you ended up, I think what you said was you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. I know you didn't say that, and we can take that out. But but it really is going to depend on, when it comes to redistricting, what court you appear before.
That's right.
To get an opinion, it can be an approval of districts one time, and then they can be struck down because of race the next time, or because of...
Yeah, it's because, look, the law in this area is so murky, and there aren't any clear parameters for legislatures to follow. You know, I call it the Goldilocks principle of redistricting, and what I mean by that is, you know, based on prior cases of the Supreme Court, if you use too much race in redistricting, if it's the predominant factor, well, then the court says you have violated the Constitution. You violated the Equal Protection Clause. And that comes actually out of another North Carolina case called Shaw versus Reno. But if you don't use race at all in redistricting, you're also going to get sued, because then the claims are going to be, you have violated the Voting Rights Act because you are diluting the voting strength of racial minorities. So state legislatures are put in this position of, well, they can't use too much race. They can't use too little race. They
just
have to use
enough.
They have to use just the right amount. And how you can see it in these North Carolina cases, you had all these different judges, both at the federal level and the state courts, looking at these maps, and half of them, it seems, came to the conclusion that they were okay. The other half came to the conclusion, well, they were not okay. Well, I guess it depends on how you look at the facts of a particular case, and what kind of what is a legislature supposed to do?
Right. So what we need to do from here on out is listen to Justice Clarence Thomas.
That's right.
And take race out of this altogether, finally.
Yes.
60 some years down the road, it's time to do that, I think. I think so, anyway.
Oh, no, I completely agree. You know, Clarence Thomas said that, and he's right. Look, if you look at the Constitution, look at our Equal Protection Clause, you look at the 15th and 14th Amendments, it's very clear that You should not be allowed to use race for any reason whatsoever. And race ought to be taken entirely out of the redistricting process. Furthermore, Clarence Thomas said something else, which I think is very important for people to realize. And that is, look, the Voting Rights Act was passed in 1965 to prevent outright interference with the right to vote. You know, it was to stop the attempts to keep black Americans from being able to register and being able to vote. Okay, well, that doesn't happen anymore.
Right.
It's these cases have been now morphed into the Voting Rights Act being used to prevent so-called dilution of the right to vote. Well, if somebody can easily register and easily vote, well, how are you supposed to judge whether their vote has been, quote-unquote, diluted?
And who makes that? Who is going to
And who's going to make that decision,
that,
right? That is such an amorphous phrase that tells you why. It's like almost every year there seems to be a redistricting case from North Carolina up before the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to just quote one of your sentences here towards the end of this article. This case also bears out another warning given by Alito. The majority's decision threatens to transform federal courts into weapons of political warfare. We're in the middle of that political
yes.
warfare in North Carolina, and I know we're not alone. I know states have already gone through this, but I think most of the people in North Carolina that follow redistricting at all can certainly agree with this sentence.
They should, and in particular, that also once again shows the real problem with the Voting Rights Act today, which is, look, if you gerrymander for partisan political reasons, that's perfectly okay. Doesn't violate
right.
the Constitution,
right.
doesn't violate the Voting Rights Act. If you gerrymander for predominantly racial reasons, that, of course, violates the law. But since African Americans are a monolithic voting bloc for the Democrats, you know, not upwards of 95% of them vote Democratic, well, how are you supposed to distinguish between a partisan motivation and a racial motivation in the redistricting process? It's almost impossible to distinguish the two. So that means you can use the Voting Rights Act to achieve partisan political ends as opposed to doing what it was intended to do, which was to stop actual racial discrimination
right.
in voting.
Right. Thank you so much, Hans.
Susan,
we'll
it's
have
always
to do this again.
Yeah, it's always great to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thank you to Susan Myrick and Hans von Spakovsky for joining us to talk about what's going on with elections in the state as far as the courts go. Thank you to you, the listeners, for listening in to this show and our past shows, hopefully. And if you want to listen to those past shows, you can go to www.freedomactionnetwork.com and you can listen to the past episodes of the What Matters in North Carolina show, or you can listen to the other shows on the network, including Free to Brew with Gregory Polscher and the NC Gun Dad show with yours truly. If you want to follow along with what's going on social media, you can do that on Facebook and Twitter at What Matters NC. Again, that is What Matters NC on Facebook and Twitter. And if you're not already subscribed to the podcast, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe by searching What Matters in North Carolina. Again, that is What Matters in North Carolina to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. We look forward to joining you again.